D2, number 17B.
Yes. Sin, really, from the point of view of the synonymous terms, this whole sense of having one love, expressing itself in infinite ideas of love, embracing them, caring for them, being the self-protection of it, this is can be symbolized through life and love. Through life as that which says, the one love expresses, reflects, demonstrates itself. We have a sense of that projecting sense into the universe of ideas. But love takes it back to itself, reflects itself, and says, I take it in, I embrace it, I preserve it, I maintain it, I care for it, I mother it, I love it, and everything. We have typically that those two elements in being, which is symbolized through the mythological sense of father and of mother, as fatherhood, as motherhood, as saying that each idea, an idea cannot be symbolized by a synonymous term, but each idea comes from its origin, the father, and each idea coming from the origin of the father is not left somehow to its own destiny, but is always taken back, reflected, taken back by love, so that it can never lose its bigness, perfection, its greatness, its majesty, its beauty, its holiness, or whatever it is, love. So life and love here are giving that Christianity sense, Christianity which shows the beauty of ideas and says the beauty of ideas is by itself nothing, the greatness of idea is by itself nothing. It is only then something when it is considered in its parenthood, fatherhood and love, motherhood. So here life and love must be considered in this sense, in this place value. Yeah, in its proper place value in Christianity, that it is the fathering sense, which cannot be without its son, the mothering sense, which cannot be without its son. And what is the son? The son is man. The son is the Christianity order. I always see that vertical column, really, of the Christianity sense, that it is the overall one love, the overall all in all, which says in absolute Christian science, but this all in all has infinite reflections. And in order to have infinite reflections, there must be that arch, creative arch of the Father, who is going to maintain and support and provide for the idea, and that mother who takes that which the father constantly projects into being and says, I care for it, I love it, I hug it, I keep it warm, I keep it perfect, I don't let anything drop from that, I keep it in its perfect standard. What is it that it, which the father projects into being, and which mother then cares for? It is the infinite idea. Infinite idea. What is the infinite idea? That I can only know by going right down to the Christianity order. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. Because that order has as its purpose to show the bigness of an idea when considered in its principle. That seems to me the purpose of the Christianity order. See, the word order had as its main office to state what is reality, and in its objective sense to lead thought to the acknowledgement of what is the nature of being. The Christ order showed us why It is possible that the principle comes to us as enlightenment, so that we can see new lights. The Christianity order seems to me to show how big an idea is, so that we in human consciousness can really correct and enlarge our sense of what an idea is, of what man is, the compound idea man is, and says you can only see it if you bring it right back to its, to the synonymous terms. Bring it right back here in principle. We have principle mind, so, which says each idea must always be seen as an idea of God, of principle. Therefore, always as infinite as principle. Always as big as principle. How big is principle? Well, principle says, I have infinite ideas of mind. So every idea is really being seen as the infinite idea of principle, of infinite ideas of mind, with the power of mind, with the action of mind, the intelligence of mind, and everything. No single idea is smaller than all other ideas together. All other ideas combined together in mind. And because they are combined together in mind, they have the nature of soul. I begin to see each idea related to each other idea for one great common interest, purpose, soul. That's soul. So that not one idea is not in line, in conformity, in concordance, in harmony with any other idea. They have all one identical interest. They have all one identical form, though different in appearance. And that way, I begin to see, golly, how big an idea is. An idea is therefore first as big as principle, which is infinite. Therefore, as embracing as the all mind. Therefore, one with all the other ideas in being. One with all the other idea being for what? For one identical purpose, namely to reflect the infinite spirit, to reflect the infinite in infinite ways. What infinite to reflect? That infinite is life, truth and love. So that each idea I begin to see is an idea of life, truth and love. That each idea reflects fatherhood, motherhood and sonship. That each idea therefore as fatherhood cares for every other idea, supports every other idea, provides for every other idea, that as truth, every idea sonships itself and other idea, therefore acknowledges, affirms every other idea, that each idea as the motherhood of the idea is loving every other idea, caring for every other idea, protecting every other idea, maintaining, fulfilling, supporting, all that is that family of life, truth and love, of the idea. See, it's no more, I think we have to see that, though we symbolize it with the synonymous terms, we must be clear that at the point of Christianity, the focal point is what is the bigness of the idea. And therefore, the idea is father to all other ideas. The idea is son to every other idea. The idea is mother to every other idea. Then we have a Christianity sense. Then we have the all-encompassing sense of man as idea. Yes? Now, seeing this, you see, I feel we have to see again that whole column of the synonymous terms as one. As one. There are not three classifications in separate compartments. There are three different views or standpoints taken now together and seen as one. Therefore, I get a wonderful sense of Christianity then when I just start with that all in all sense of divine science, which says there is just one perfection, just one infinite perfection. That one infinite perfection on the level of absolute Christian science says, I have infinite forms of perfection. I can reflect perfection in infinite forms of perfection. I can demonstrate perfection in infinite forms of perfection. How can I do that? By seeing that there is a Father who projects that into being, always a new creation coming into being, but also to see that there must be a Mother who maintains that perfection and does not allow that that idea which the Father has projected into being is going to dwindle out, to decay, or to disappear, but to see that it can be protected, maintained, cared for. What are the other terms here of that motherhood sense, you see, which just takes it in? The Father projects it out and the Mother takes it in, if you want to take it that way. It's just always that thing, you see, that there is a new projection, but it can't be left there. That would be just the word sense, life, truth and love, projecting something perfect. Love is something more to that. Christianity is something more to that. It's life and love, which says that which the Word, as the Father, projects into being, that I'm going to preserve, to maintain, to keep intact, to keep perfect, to care for it, to nurture it, to hug it, to embrace it, to even to unfold it, to conceive it and let it grow, let it become bigger and bigger, all that mother conception of it that comes in. Then, when I see that is really the nature of being, fundamentally, then I see, then really, I come down to Christian science and to the Christianity order, then actually I don't have to care for men, for any man, neither for me, nor for my children, nor for my other fellow, nor for my friends, for nobody. Life and love does that. And that gives the demonstration of true manhood. See, if we don't have the higher levels and only have the Christianity order on the level of Christian science, we are really tempted to demonstrate men ourselves. To demonstrate men by saying, yes, what is man? Oh, I must see the perfect man. The perfect man is the man of principle. And I start with the Christianity order and say, the perfect man is the man of principle. He's an idea of principle. I start going on to mine and say, therefore, he's an idea of that principle. He's an idea in mind of that principle. And I go on and say to soul, and therefore, as an idea of mind in principle, he's identical with its principle. And I feel, he's fine and safe therein. And I feel, because he reflects spirit, that man, that perfect man as idea, identical with its principle, reflects every other idea. He reflects fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood. And I get a very nice sense of man as idea, as compound idea. And then I think, does he know it? Does he react to it? Is he going to obey it? Then I feel how powerless I am. Then I feel, oh golly, I've only established a true concept of man through the Christianity order. That's all what I've been doing. A very true concept, and I trust that concept a little bit and say, because I've seen it not as a mortal, but as an idea, I trust that that idea is going to do something with that man. But it's not enough. It's not really powerful. See? It's not really powerful. If I can put that whole Christianity order as the child into back into the to the matrix, into the boom of life and love, then I see, oh, I can let it happen and let it be that life, God, life, the infinite life, the infinite creative ability of being, and love as that infinitely taking care of the child, that they contain the child, the Christianity order. The child is the Christianity order's compound idea. I begin to see then that life, the infinite creator, the infinite projection, the constant projection of being, the constant creation of new ideas, is constantly saying, my man is a principled man. My man is the idea of principle. And love says, and that sense I maintain. That sense I keep perfect. And I give all my trust, all the power to maintain the compound idea of man, I give back to life and love. And see, yes, that's what happens. I don't have to care about my children, that they find the right way, that they are educated properly and that they will grow as true men. I just trust life and love that they are so big that they don't know anything about men but that he is an idea of principle. And so I get that feel, life is constantly saying, I have a principled idea, a principled man. And I feel that love is taking care of that, that it will never be unprincipled. I feel then as mind that life and love are really the source of that man of mine. That only life gives him ideas, nothing else, never illusions, never other motives. That life alone is that which gives to everyone right ideas, namely right thoughts, right motives, right thinking, and that love, because love is a fact in being, will take that and say, that I'm going to develop, to nurture in the idea man. Only the right ideas, the right thoughts, the right motives of mine. And I go further and see that child as an idea of soul and feel that idea of soul is really nurtured by life and soul, by life and love. Life that says, I project into being only a soul sense so that no man can have ever, and any other testimony can never be sensual, can never follow sensual lines, but that life brings forth in the idea of soul only spiritual sense, spiritual understanding, spiritual longings, only a sense of bliss and of joy and of freedom, of true freedom. And that love says, and this wonderful sense which has been projected as soul into being, that I'm going to care for, protect, so that it will never fall away. There will be no fallen men. Men cannot fall. Cannot fall, not because of soul. Soul is changeless. But it cannot fall because there is life and love taking care of it. And so I begin to see that life and love are really that which takes care of the man of spirit. The man of unfoldment. I see life says to man, I am going to unfold you. No other influence, no other thing can make you go along a way which is not right, can make you develop in your life in the wrong way, can choose the wrong way, can choose the wrong, make the wrong decision or anything like that. I, life, order everything. I create order as idea. And love comes along and says, and I protect it. I care for it. I see that you are not falling out of order. And we know how the medical people today say that sickness is nothing else but falling out of order. And so we can say, yes, therefore we have to see that man unfolds according to order. But how does he? Out of himself? Or by telling him that he should? No. By the very fact that above that Christianity order stands life and love, which says, I, life, say what is going to happen. I am such a forcible old father that says to the child, you can't have another way, you have to go that way. And love says, I will see to it that you go it. And that everything which is on the way and it will try to stop it, I put it out of the way. I'm love. I don't let you fall away from order. But that's consciousness. It's all consciousness. But can you touch or feel at least that what a difference it makes if we either only work with the Christianity order or if we combine it with life and love on absolute Christian science? Can you see that? And that if we can even overform that and take in the one love, then we see, and that's going on all over the place, and because there is only one love, that goes all over in the whole universe. So, with this way, and I think I'm getting near to the end, we begin to realize, you see, how important it is somehow not just to play one melody. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth and love. How nice it would be to have an orchestra, a whole symphony, where the melody is overformed by other themes, by life and love, overformed, which gives to the whole one characteristic, one love. And combine that in one's consciousness as one rhythmic whole. Then it gives to our treatment, to our work, to our study, a much more powerful concept. It is as if, as long as we would only consider the level of Christian science and the orders on the level of Christian science, that we are too much tempted, I think, that it is that we think the order. That the we thinking comes in too much. The we thinking, the we knowing, the we pondering, all that is really eliminated the moment we let life, truth and love be the I. Life, truth and love be the person of God. The person who considers the word order, the Christ order, the Christianity order and the science order. And in this way, you also begin to feel, you see, that Christianity order seen that way really makes one see, each one of us, that it is up to us that we do the job. That we can no more say, well, we are students and there are a few workers, they live on it and they are very happy if we are students and come and pay them so they can live of it. But that's their job. That's their job. It isn't. Christianity says, the salvation of the whole world is each one's job. Mrs. Eddy apparently must once have said that you should always act as if everything would depend, the whole salvation of the universe would depend on what you do and not what the other does. If we teach and give summer school and practice, that doesn't say that we have a profession and that this is our job. This is old Leviticanism. Can you say Leviticanism? Perhaps you can't, but you did understand what I meant. To be a Levite, a priest, a new priest, instead of having a nice robe and black and so on, and stiff collars and so on, we are just a new kind of priest. The Christianity order says that each one is responsible for the whole, because one love is universal. And therefore, one's consciousness is universal. And therefore, it depends on each one to do the job and do it the way that he thinks. If the whole world would go to pieces just because I don't work, then we have taken the right position. And we say, oh no, I am not going to let the whole world die just because of me. I jolly well stand on my hind legs and do the job. A student who is here has told me some months ago that when John Dolly was president of the Mother Church, that he went around to the various churches and that, among others, he said that the trouble of Christian Science is, and that why it doesn't grow as it should, is that 5% of the Christian Scientists work out their problem, and the other 95% tell us who is their practitioner. So I think he touched there on the point of true Christianity, where one feels, really, one should feel that sense within oneself that the whole world just is dependent on one's spiritual progress. Actually, that can be misunderstood. It may be misunderstood that it says, all right, you think you are the savior of the world and we are nothing. No, it means that each one should have that sense. So don't misunderstand me. That you feel, all right, it is Max's or Johnny's or Peggy's job to save the world. But it is each one's attitude towards it that says, we can't go on playing with this. We can't go on saying, I don't understand enough. I'm not far advanced enough. I know this and I am not that. And the other fellow is going to do it. That's not Christianity. How can that fit into Christianity? How is anyone really honest in going through the Christianity order and through that chart and feel that the other fellow should do it? Then he hasn't understood a single thing about the chart, about the Christianity order. Then he had just a sense of principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth and love. And that's just nothing. But just nothing. Until it is seen what it means within the whole, and is seen that it applies to each one of us as an individual reflection of life, truth and love, then that job begins to work.